Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Ahoy there, it's the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 265. Come see us perform on the 12th of October, New York Comic Con time. We're going to be at the Best Buy Theater that Friday night. I think there's a couple tickets left. If you go to nerdist.com/calendar, you can grab those couple of tickets left and come see us. We're going to have some special guests. I believe a Tig Notaro is going to be there. And then there's another special guest that you may enjoy as well. So it should be a super, super, super fun time. And hope to see you at New York Comic Con, just walking around the floor. Anyway, this episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Can you hear those sirens? Can you hear them? I'm recording this in my hotel room in New York. Oh, always with the sirens, New York. A lot of shit going down here. Try to stop the sirens. You can't. Because they're helping people. Good for you, sirens. Ah, yes, Amazon. So if you go to this podcast page on Nerdist.com, click the Amazon banner on the post, and then you shop as you normally would. Maybe you want to buy earplugs to block out the sirens. I wish I had. Or maybe you want to get an industrial size, even louder siren. You could do that too. That's flawed logic, but it's something you could do. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast, I owe a huge apology to Rich Summer. Let me give you a little backstory about this episode. We recorded it at the beginning of the summer, months ago. Rich came on. He was an amazing guest. I'm gonna be honest with you about why I didn't put this up sooner, and it's a dumb reason. And the times that I've run into Rich, I've explained to him, Rich, here's the reason that I didn't post this podcast yet, and I apologize. I got a little OCD about it. And here's what happened. I'm just gonna spoil this. We talk a lot about the Frasier theme song for some reason in the podcast. And so I got it in my head that I was going to record a version of the Frasier theme and stick it at the end of the podcast and be like, you know, hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, burritos and scrambled eggs. We're going to do this whole thing. And then I got busy, and then I couldn't record it. And I'm like, well, I can't post this because I haven't recorded the song yet. And then I got busy. I'm like, oh, I'm still going to do it. I'm going to record this song. Downloaded the karaoke version of it and everything. Still have never had time to do it. And finally, tonight, I'm like, God damn it. Rich deserves better than this. He was an amazing guest. And it was because I got it in my head that I wanted to record that thing. So, here's the thing. Here's a lesson. Be flexible sometimes. Sure, you're going to have ideas. You're not going to be able to do everything. And sometimes you got to know when to say, you know what? I'm just not going to get to do this thing. And I just have to be okay with that. And I should have done that months ago. So I apologize to you, Rich Summer. I adore you. You were a fun guest, as people will hear. And as I'm saying the idea out loud, it's very cathartic because I'm realizing it would not have been a good idea. So there you go, people. That is my mea culpa, my public apology to Rich Summer, who I throw myself at his feet and beg for his mercies. So, episode number 265, Rich Summer from the beginning of the summer to their homophones. Summer and summer. It's spelled differently. All right. Yeah, podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, when there was the shot with Brian Husky and Al when they were talking to Aaron Paul.
Yep.
Like the Brian Husky and Weird Al angle was done like a year before everything else.
Really?
He had been like working on it for a long time.
Oh my God. It's great.
Yeah. It's, and like when he told me about it, I was like, I'll be an extra in anything. Okay. I don't care. I want to be in it. And then like, he's like, hey, you're the, you'll be the bass player. And I was like, and it was one of the coolest things in the world because there's all these kids and they're playing, you know, Eat It real loud on the speakers. And I'm like playing along to the song.
Which is awesome.
And there's all these kids rocking out. And I was like, oh God, this feels great. And then I see Weird Al in the corner. I'm like, fucking A. Fuck this. This is great.
Well, guys, we're doing it. We're podcasting on a Friday. It's Good Friday, I think, isn't it? It's good. It's Good Friday.
It's a Good Friday.
What am I doing
here? I'm not sure if
here?
It's Good Friday.
I better go.
It was a good
negative,
Friday.
Matt Myra.
What do you mean negative? I was just respecting my religion. I mean, that's negative to you, Jonah, I guess, but to the rest of the world.
Would you really be celebrating Good Friday otherwise?
What do you mean? I just forgot it was Good Friday.
Well, then...
I'm already not eating.
Are you still on the
fasting,
juice cleanse?
So this
Are you
works.
Still on the juice cleanse?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many days
that's
now?
He's, that's why he's the embodiment of a curmudgeon right now.
6 days?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Only 54 more to go.
Are you
Wait,
seriously?
I don't know about this.
Well, Rich.
Rich Summer is here. Rich Summer from the Mad Men program.
I watched a program on Netflix called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead.
It was a movie.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. The point is, the guy is super fat, man, and he juices for 60 days. And he's got all these ailments and things.
Juicing means he...
Meaning not steroids.
Right. He does a juice fast.
He does a juice fast where he just eats juice. Or drinks it, whatever.
He freezes it into ice cubes and then eats the juice.
The point is that he does this sort of as a thing to get healthier, and so he has to stop. He can stop taking medication for all this. He has like autoimmune disease, this weird thing he's taking medication for, blood pressure stuff like that. He does it for 60 days. It all clears up. He's off all the medication, and he dropped like 83 pounds, and he runs around a lot. I want
to
run around.
You have to
a lot.
Do it for 60 days.
You don't have to do it for 60 days. He recommends 10.
Okay.
But so I said, you know what? I saw this in a movie. I could do it. So I'm going to do it. And then he met this truck driver who had the same ailment he has, very rare sort of disease. And this truck driver in like Alabama had the same disease that he had, told the guy about the juicing. You know, nothing comes of it. Then towards the end of the movie, you think it's the end of the movie. He gets a phone call from that truck driver saying, I really could use your help. He's like 460 uh-huh. pounds or whatever. Then he
says, I have to get all this beer.
Flies back
I have to get all this beer to Texarkana, Texas
sure.
in 18 hours and Isn't back.
It, aren't they running chowder in the second one? Or is that at the end?
He said, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound. Just watch old Bandit run.
Is it the end of the movie where they then have to run chowder?
Then they go to get chowder, yeah.
Then they go to get chowder at the end of the movie.
Because a really rich guy has Paul Williams
well,
as a son,
chowder.
And
sure.
they...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But anyway, so the truck driver does it, also gets cleared up. He loses like 120 pounds, 180 pounds or whatever.
So you're 6 days deep. Are you noticing any changes?
I'm losing weight. No, actually. My pee, I've learned that I have that weird thing that if I drink beet juice... Everything's red.
That's going to be scary.
Whether it comes out my butt or my pee hole. It's not scary because I have shit blood before and I didn't really care.
Oh.
That is something to actually care about.
Oh, no. It's okay. Cleared up. Don't worry
really?
About it.
You'll have to get closer on the mic, Rich.
Was it a juice fast that cleared it up? What cleared it up?
Just time.
All right.
What cleared it up is the same thing that makes everyone better. He ignored it.
Time heals all wounds, Rich Summer.
And that makes everything better.
Whether
well,
it's a bad breakup or a bloody asshole.
Please just, yeah. and you know,
which is why he broke up is because he called his girlfriend a bloody asshole.
And that's why it didn't, I just want you to, you know, just want to monitor that you're okay and take care of yourself and, you know.
Doing great.
I mean, I know sometimes there's the impulse to like, oh, I'm going to do this thing really hard. And so you decide you're going to do it for 60 days. But I don't want you to be so committed to that idea that you don't along the way give yourself the ability to go, you know, this has actually gotten to the point where it's not super healthy. So I'm going to.
Listen.
Yes,
it's like Dark Knight. Batman becomes an idea, just like the juicing.
Batman,
the hero I need,
is a fake thing.
No, it's not.
And you're a person in this world.
Oh, sure. Juicing's fake too, Chris. Whatever.
I've never seen a juicer in real life. Prove to me they exist.
Next, you're going to shit on Good Friday like Jonah over there.
I didn't shit on Good Friday. You did by working on it.
Oh, my God. Good Friday. This is a big holiday when I went to all boys Catholic school. Where did you go to high school?
To public school, Stillwater area high school in Stillwater, Minnesota.
Stillwater, Minnesota. We were just in Minnesota, as you know.
I heard. Fucking I was a little
great,
jealous.
Great place.
I love beer, it there. Cheese soup.
I gotta say though, Rich Summer, and I hope you take this as a compliment. You in the season since Mad Men started, you've gotten into amazing shape.
I wouldn't say I'm in good shape anything.
Yeah, neither would I.
Thank you. I lost weight.
You look very healthy. You look very healthy.
Yeah, you have, definitely.
And I actually right now am about 15 pounds heavier than I was in those episodes.
Oh.
I really dropped off a lot right before shooting, and then kind of rode that out through the season. And as soon as we wrapped,
beer pizza.
Found the beer pizza. Yeah.
Could I have some pizza with beer on it?
Cheese soup and yeah.
Oh, thanks.
What did you do?
I actually, boy.
Ate you exercise? Sounds like a crazy idea.
I did exercise a little bit. I rode my bike a lot around the valley. And then I also did just one of those little apps with the, you know.
Lose It?
It was Lose It. Yep. It was Lose It. Yeah. I did that.
How do you, you know, I have a I've tried Lose It before, but, you know, I never know the ounces of the chicken breast I'm eating or, you
5 ounces the size of your fist.
What?
Figure it out. 5 ounces is about the size of your fist.
You sure about that? My fists
His
are pretty
fist
huge.
Your fist.
All right, your fist is like 7 ounces.
Jonah's a T-bone.
Yeah.
Jonah's got T-bone hands.
Yeah. Enjoy.
No
it.
Wonder it didn't work. I was using my
You're
fist
two
and my
ounces.
Normal body size as an indicator of what I should eat.
I think. I mean, I ended up just kind of making a lot of assumptions and just putting in things that were like comparable. I wasn't like super crazy about making sure everything was. You know, totally accurate. I made some guesses here and there.
Guesstimates?
Some guesstimates here and there. I really was trying to avoid using that word. And I got as far as guesses.
Guess estimate.
You if, they were, if, you were, if you were eating chicken, they were breastimates.
What?
You're
don't
the
get it.
You're the breastimate, Chris.
You are.
I'm the bestimate.
Yeah.
We had an amazing time yesterday when the team Mad Men joined us for All-Star Bowling. I don't know if this is going to go up before or after that air, so I won't say what the outcome was. But all I have to say is...
Pete Holmes?
I had no idea what a shit-talker Pete Holmes was going to be. I mean, it was magical.
But in that positive Pete Holmes way,
I mean, it was
still like...
It was non-threatening, but like heckles that I never would have thought.
But they were all like the good thing, like, you know, when you're heckling Matt Weiner, for example, who, you know, created Mad Men, and... you know, there's a you're saying things about characters or about things that I guess maybe sometimes could be taken the wrong way. But the thing that Pete did totally right is that he clearly is a fan of the show.
Loves it.
Every heckle he did was hyper specific.
Yeah.
And so Matt could only I'm sure enjoy the fact that Pete knew the show so well.
Your son likes watching ladies pee.
Exactly.
Your wife has let herself go. One of my favorite ones though was when Matt was bowling and then Pete goes, "Sopranos never found its footing."
No, I thought he said Andy Richter controls the universe never found its footing.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, he said Andy Richter controls the universe never found its footing.
I didn't know he did that.
He worked. Yeah, he was a writer on that show.
Oh, wow. I really enjoyed that one.
My favorite heckle. Now we're not even giving away how the game ended, but we're still giving away all of Pete's best bits. But he did get up and do a Megan Draper rendition of cleaning the bowling lane directly in the eye line of Matt Weiner saying, or no, it was John
Hamm.
John Hamm saying, "You can't have this. I don't want them to think that you're getting this." Just like direct quotes from the show. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. Vince is really good at being mean.
Vinny.
I can see why he got the role of Pete Campbell now.
Is, I mean,
but
look,
not. It didn't seem threateningly mean.
No,
he
no,
was
no.
Just, it was
he's just
like
really good at.
It was. He's
like
a, he's good at ball busting.
Yeah,
like Pete is better at. Pete Holmes. I'm talking about is but we did talk about the real Pete versus the fake Pete yesterday a little bit, and Pete Holmes' jabs are specific and yet funny enough that they're gentle. They're gentle. You know, they're meant to be gentle. Vinny, God love him. His jabs were specific, and maybe teetering on the edge from gentle into acerbic.
Well, yeah. Or the one he did to me was like, he's like, he pulled out his phone. He was like, "Siri, who is Jonah Ray?" Oh, it didn't come up with anything. That's when I pulled out his IMDb. I was like, "You're a great Indian in the cupboard."
You could have talked about Angel.
That's true.
He was on Angel.
That's right. He's in a lot of things as a child.
Mm-hmm. Because he had the scruff, and then he sort of had his hair was a little scragglier yesterday, and he sort of looked like my better looking brother, like my better looking younger brother. I'm like, God. Oh, and it's Peter. He could be Peter Hart. No, yeah. Peter Hardwick was the fat brother. Yeah, so he'll just be Vince Hardwick because Vince is the perfect name for like the cooler, better looking younger brother.
He's the one that floats around, never got a job, but somehow more wealthy out of the brothers. You're like the guy that's like real straight and narrow, and then Peter Hardwick is just the fuck up.
Total fuck up. Yeah. So we'll have to cast that someday. We'll do that.
The Hardwicks.
The Hardwick boys. Yeah, I'm sure. It's the old Hardwick boys. Hardwick boys are underfoot today. But it was really fun, and I had a great. And you have an amazing bowling form. And I know you say you only bowled for a semester in college, but I see that the bowling is in your blood.
Well, that means a lot coming from you. I will say, I was telling my wife this last night that after the match, looking back on it, and you'll see if you watch the show, I'm guessing that there's a moment where I did a what some were referring to as a granny stance, where I threw the ball from between my legs in a straight line, and I picked up a spare. The reason I did that was because all of a sudden, and I don't know if it was I had one small glass of rye whiskey, and maybe I was halfway through it. I don't know if it was that or if it was just that the heckles were getting to me or what it was.
Were you singing Bye Bye This American Pie?
No, not yet.
With your whiskey and rye?
But there was a moment where I was standing there ready to throw, and I was looking down the lane, and I had my feet in, you know, the stance where I start every time. And all of a sudden... I could not remember which foot I took my first step with. And it was like I was describing to my wife last night. It was like I had a little mini stroke where I could not. And I started to go. And luckily, Jonah was throwing out heckles. So it gave me an excuse to stop because I took two or three steps. And if you watch, you'll see that I'm alternating feet each time I'm doing it because I'm like trying to remember how the fuck to throw a bowling ball. All of a sudden, I've forgotten.
Well, because there's so much muscle memory. And so when you change your form, like when you take the ball by two hands and you go, you haven't thought about how you bowl regularly in so long that it really does kind of, it's a little bit of a speed bump.
Well, that was, but I'm saying that's why I went to the granny bowl was because I took two or three steps and I could not for the life of me remember how to throw the bowling ball. So I just quickly granny threw it. And it sort of reset me, so the next time I went up there, it was fine.
Was it
again.
All that rye?
I don't know if it was that or if it was... I mean, I just had like some little electrical thing went off in my brain that just was like, I'm erasing this for 1 second. You're not going to remember which foot to step
with. You did just describe a stroke.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what that is. I mean, it seems okay.
I don't even think I can't think about which foot... Like, thinking about now, I don't know which foot I start on.
Probably
maybe when I get out
right
there.
Foot.
No, I don't think it is.
No, it's the opposite foot.
Yeah,
from,
I think it's my left foot.
If you're right-handed, you end up on your you're supposed to end up on your left foot, and in a typical there are four
and
step
since
approaches.
You're left-handed, you start on your right.
Okay.
I take a four step approach, so I start with my right foot and end on my left. But some people take a five step approach, so you can start with the same foot that you end on.
I always thought you took a 12 step approach.
Well, that's in life, Jonah. That's in life.
I didn't go for that joke because I thought it was mean.
So you're doing a juice fast.
So you haven't had salt.
Hasn't affected you at all.
Yeah. The pounds
Matt's
and your
falling asleep. If you didn't hear Matt talking for a while, it's because he fell asleep sitting up.
The pounds and your patience are just melting away. I just, you know, just take care of yourself.
Giving a guy shit for bettering his life.
We're not giving him shit for bettering his life. I think it's admirable that you're doing what you're doing. You know,
admirable.
It is. You look at old. You look at like pictures
admirable
from the first season.
Akbar of what?
Nerdist podcast.
This year on the year's 2012. Matt.
The first season of Cheers. If you look back,
it's a totally different.
George went.
Coach
George
was there. Oh, remember when Coach was the bartender? Remember before Woody, it was Coach. Oh, I wonder if Coach had never died, if he would have just gotten Woody Harrelson's all of his film parts after that. Nicholas Colasanto, if he would have just gotten White Men Can't Jump.
I'm a bit baseball player than you. I can jump.
Wait, who?
Nicholas Colasanto. I think his name was Nicholas Colasanto, the guy who played Coach.
I think that's right.
Before Woody Harrelson came on to Cheers, the first couple of seasons was this old guy named Coach. He was the bartender.
You don't know Coach?
And then Coach.
I do not remember this.
Oh my god.
And then he died in real life, and so then they replaced him with Woody.
Yeah.
And the character, the heart of the character was the same. It was sort of a sweet, dumb character. Coach was just sort of sweet, just super old, but, you know, wasn't all there. And so they basically replaced him with a young Coach, which was Woody Harrelson.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Remember, what was the comic that had, it was like they tried to do another bar show. I think it was also in Boston or Chicago. Mm. And it was another comic. But like, I remember they had a character die. Like the surly bartender of that show died. As well,
and with it, remember. The show he took the show with him. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. It's but he was like a stand-up comic that like also had a bar show.
It was like Cheers, but it was all Jews. It was called Mazel Tov.
It was Jewish. He was Jewish.
Didn't Carlin show?
You saw the Irish one.
He hung out at a bar, but he was a cab driver. There was the episode where he just sat in the car letting the meter run while he had a blind guy in it saying there was traffic.
That was it.
The George Carlin sitcom. Oh, wow. On Fox.
What actual first season were you referring to?
Of what?
When you started your sentence.
You were saying a nice thing to Matt about
the first season of the podcast. If you look at old pictures and now, I mean, like, there's a considerable difference.
I'm much, much more jaded.
I can see that.
You're much more faded.
I mean, those early pictures, you can see hope behind your eyes and promise for the future. And now it's
the best
just
is when everyone, like when like fans like do drawings of us, Matt always has the biggest grin on his face. He looks like he's normally like they make him skipping with glee.
I have the biggest smile. That's why.
Wait, fans do drawings of you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And they're good. We get amazing art from people.
That's awesome.
There must be a shit ton of Mad Men fan art.
There are some. It's only that weird avatar Mad Men maker online.
Mad Men yourself?
Yes, it's only that.
Some people have drawn some pictures. We were done up by this guy Tom Richmond in Mad Magazine, which was awesome.
What was the name of your Twitter avatar?
That's from Mad. Yeah.
What was the Mad Magazine?
I think it was called Sad Men.
Sad Men. Well, we were up all night, but it was worth it.
Home run.
Why not? Everybody hates Raymond.
Yeah. What about Mad Mech?
Mad Mech! Mad Mech! Yes, that would have totally been the set. That was classic 70s Mad Magazine. Yeah, yeah. That was fucking classic 70s Mad Magazine.
But that was the fucking thing. Whenever they did a Star Trek parody, it was always the Exit Prize instead of the Enterprise. Like, it was just like, really? Yeah.
Guys, we gotta comb through this script one more time.
What's the problem? It's opposite the thing.
Yeah. Even 9-year-old me was like, come on, guys.
Exit Prize, really? Really? I think the singled out parody was called Single Louts.
What?
I know. Who uses lout?
Nobody.
I was still honored beyond words. You must have been thrilled to see yourself in Mad Magazine.
Totally delighted.
I'm glad they're still kicking around.
Yeah.
That Mad Magazine.
Yeah, that show. They have that show that's basically like the animated Robot Chicken. This is they have
a
cartoon.
I didn't even know they had a show. What's
it's on Cartoon Network.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mad.
Really?
It's all just like real like Robot Chicken, where it's just quick hit, different types of animation, just flowing into each other. Callbacks.
Funny?
Yeah. It's actually I worked with a couple of the animators at a show I did called Super News, and they all have a blast there. It's apparently a lot of fun to work there.
Nice.
There's that.
Then there's that.
There's so many things I want to talk about Mad Men, but I don't want to because it's the current season, so I don't want to give anything away.
What's the point?
I know. In a couple years, we can talk about this season.
I can't wait.
We'll have you back on.
We should talk about season two now, then.
Now we can finally talk about when Harry cracked the code for creating a television department in Sterling Cooper.
Which I was convinced was going to be the story of Bernie Brillstein. I was really like, I brought that up last time you were on.
Right.
Like, if you ever read the Bernie Brillstein book, he was at an agency, and he's like, hey, you should have a television department, and I should be the head of it. And so I was really thinking that was going to be.
I think Matt would tell you that probably a lot of Harry is loosely based on stories like that. And possibly some specifics from Bernie Brillstein's story.
I'm sure they probably even know it. They knew each other.
I don't know. Yeah. But Matt's done a pretty extensive history of those roles in the ad agency
and how
and where they go from there.
Weiner's really funny too, by the way.
He is.
Yes.
He's real.
He was really funny on the show. I mean, I didn't know what to expect because I know you and John, but I'd never met Vincent before and I didn't really know Matt. And so I guess I kind of thought like, you know, it could be a little low key and somber because, you know, like maybe they just don't want to fuck. And I'm going to say it was the most raucous episode of the bowling show we've ever done.
Vinny just jumping on Rich constantly, just like, and then like Vince and
Pete Holmes
just fucking grappling.
It was Vince like shouting at Pete while Pete was bowling and then Pete throwing a gutter and turning around going, fuck you, Pete Campbell. Yeah. Like it was stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was a magical.
It was pretty intense.
It was a magical.
Matt, you should have been there.
Yeah. Well, we do the best we can. Well, there's some fun ones you'll get to be.
You had a good proxy, though.
Yeah.
A couple good proxy. You had Al and Pete.
Those are good. Al was me.
Al was you. Yeah. You were the Al.
It's weird when Weird Al is the most subdued of the group.
He really was. Al was the most.
Had his head in the game.
I think even.
He's not a loud guy, though.
I think even Vincent was like, he's not being that weird at all. He's just normal Al Yankovic.
Yes. It's like, what was the one thing that Vinny said when Al was going? He was like, you're not culturally relevant. And then Al just drops the ball. It's like, it really seemed
Jesus Christ.
Well, first of all, he's wrong.
Yeah, it's very wrong. Yeah, no, but that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I finally saw that 30 Rock that Al was on.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's great. He unweirds the song.
Unweirds the song. I've said this a million times before, but Al is one of my favorite people in the world.
He's
every bit the guy that you hope he would be.
Absolutely.
And such a sweet, just amazing guy.
Super generous, super nice, and not affected at all.
Do Jonah now.
Okay, so Jonah.
Wait, no.
Very affected. Very affected.
Totally affected.
Since you were on the podcast last, have there been any sort of career milestones or flag sticks that you've put in the ground where you're sort of like something happens or someone comes up to you that you didn't expect and they're like, hey, I know who you are.
Well, Chris doesn't live in that house anymore.
Yeah, I don't live in the house that you podcasted with us in the first time.
No, you moved.
I moved.
I moved. I'm not there anymore.
Some of his stuff is, though.
Like my dog.
Oh, no.
No, I left.
Was it part of the deal?
Well, when our lawyers,
God.
No, it was a very, it was an incredibly, very respectful and amicable separation. And I said, the dog should stay here because there's the cat is there
and
they're buds. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. I just didn't want to break up she was very happy to keep Scott there. And so it was all very amicable. Like
Scott's such a dumb dog.
He's an amazing dog. Scott is an amazing dog.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Where were we?
I was asking questions about mile markers in the Rich Sommer career timeline.
I have the crazy opportunity, especially each year when we get to go to the Emmys and we get to meet people that I am fully unprepared to meet. I don't know if I don't think I talked about this with you guys. Did I talk about meeting Sigourney Weaver?
No!
That was like, there's this party that happens the night before the Emmys called, I believe, the night before party that like Jeffrey Katzenberg throws. And the invite list is basically all the people on the TV shows that are nominated for something and then all of his friends. And it's a very, everybody seems to go because there's no press invited. And so it's like a very cool thing. You see like crazy people that you wouldn't expect to see at a party. And I was walking with my wife and somebody grabbed me on the arm and I turned around and it was Sigourney Weaver. And she said, I just want to let you know, I really love your show.
She approached you.
She grabbed my arm. And I...
Please say a three-way happened. Please say a three-way happened.
I couldn't make my brain work. I mean, even telling the story, it's hard to do that. she just said that she liked the show and I couldn't say anything back. And I bowed. I bowed maybe 10 or 11 times as I backed away.
He kept saying so sorry. It was weird.
I literally said, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And backed away and walked away. And my wife was sort of standing there and she followed me and said, what are you doing? You just like bowed 10 times to Sigourney Weaver.
Bowed out?
I don't know. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything. And so the next day, at the Emmys, my wife was in the restroom, in the ladies' room there, and Sigourney Weaver happened to be in the ladies' room, and my wife apologized on my behalf to Sigourney Weaver, and she's like, oh, it's totally fine. And then it turned out, unbeknownst to me, that Sigourney Weaver was presenting the Emmy for Best Series, so that final award of the night, and we got the award, and we went up on stage, and if you watch, you wouldn't, and why would you? If you were to go back and watch that telecast somehow, you see as the credits are rolling, our whole show sort of like moving off to the side and Sigourney Weaver trailing behind with the other, you know, fancies on stage. And you see me walking off stage and then run back on and grab her hand and apologize for how I had acted the night before.
Wow.
And then race back
off. See, I thought what you were going to say is that the entire cast bowed and backed away to Sigourney Weaver. Thank you. Thank you.
Like British fans, it's like,
but I think that's one of those things that your brain is literally not prepared to handle unexpectedly, and you don't it's like the adrenaline, and you go into the lizard part of your brain, and you don't know.
When I still lived in New York, and one of my best friends moved out to L.A., and he used to take an elevator at a building that Drew Barrymore had an office in, and he would always ride the elevator with her, and he said, you know, there's just something in your brain that short circuits when you see that person and their third dimension. We see them in two dimensions all the time. Yep. And then as soon as you see that third dimension, it's just a different feeling. It just is, like, for some reason.
Which is why The Great Gatsby is in 3D.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Why all the movies need to be in 3D now, so we can condition ourselves to see Drew Barrymore in
4D,
an elevator.
4D is the next thing.
But that was the thing. I mean, see, just whipping around. And if it had been a poster of Sigourney Weaver, it would have been a much simpler interaction.
Why can't you be a poster?
Why are you bowing to that poster, Rich?
Why are you taking that poster home, Rich?
I moderated a panel at Comic-Con in 2010 that for a movie that she was on, the movie Paul. And I had a very similar experience with her, but she was so just like down to earth and nice that I convinced her to take a prom photo with me.
Ha!
And so there's a picture of, and she's taller than I am. She's a tall lady.
She's very tall.
She might be 6'1".
I think she's 6'1".
I think she might be 6'1".
Yeah, we were eye to eye for sure.
Yeah. She's just tall and beautiful.
Yeah,
and so there's
stunning.
There's a picture somewhere. I think maybe it's on my Facebook of just me prom posing with Sigourney Weaver. It was just one
Are
of
you
my,
the girl?
Yeah, I am the girl.
Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did play the girl.
Yeah.
Because I was shorter by an inch or two, and also because it was Sigourney
just
Weaver,
an inch or two.
I should be the.
I'm
5'10". That's 3 inches.
All right,
I'm 5'10".
You said an inch or two.
Well, I mean,
I always
an
have
inch
trouble.
And two.
I don't
an
know. I don't know who's taller, you or me, and I don't know because you're always we always have different shoes on all the time.
Right?
Well, because Matt's always wearing
we don't
heels.
Share shoes.
You get the shit hashed out. Take
but
off
no,
your shoes.
Sometimes we should get this. I want to figure this out. Can we figure out who's taller? Well, yes, it's not good podcasting, but
no, well, later. Someday we'll figure out who's taller.
There's no difference.
There's no...
Shut up, 6'4".
Yeah, you
There's
win
no
anyway.
Difference to so you. Yeah,
you're the one who just... You're the one...
Difference
hey, fuck yourself. You're the one who just said to me, like, an inch or two. So you obviously
yeah,
think there
you,
is
Jonah.
A difference.
Because it would be funny
Shut
to say.
Shut up. Oh, okay. I will get Vincent Kartheiser in here and aim him at you.
No, he knows. He knows me.
Siri doesn't.
Siri doesn't. Yeah. But, yeah, I took... I took the lady position in the prom pose because I feel like Sigourney would be the dude in that situation.
She might.
I feel like Sigourney would be the dude.
Yeah, she could, and she can kick your ass.
I would let her peg me. I would let Sigourney Weaver peg me. All right, I have no problem with that.
Strap on or what?
Yeah, or what have you? Right. Or a baby alien or whatever? Because they're roughly wiener-esque.
Sure. I mostly come on her at night, mostly.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver.
She sleeps above covers.
Don't fucking laugh because it's good.
4 feet above the covers.
She barks. Yeah. She drools. And it may not be a coincidence that the song I was listening to when I pulled into this building, no lie, was Dreamweaver.
Wow.
I believe you can help me.
I believe you can get me through the night.
Get me. Help me. What's wrong with me?
I don't know. You just don't know 70s music because you're younger.
No, what are you talking about? They made that specifically for Wayne's World.
That's right. That's right. That Foxy Lady.
Foxy Lady, yes.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ballroom Blitz. Yeah.
Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah.
Ballroom Blitz. Yeah. Career.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the Shitty Beatles.
Oh, what the fuck was her band's name?
Crucial Taunt.
All right.
Yeah. I got so upset when I was at South by Southwest. I saw, like, Carmen, like Tia Carrera. On like a lineup, I was like, "Fuck, she's playing music again." I'm gonna go and see T. Carrera, and I'm just gonna request Ballroom Blitz. And then I get to the fucking venue, and it's a band called T. Carrera. And I was like, "Fuck you!"
I hate when bands or improv groups use an actual human person's name,
Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah,
I know. UCB
was Respecto Montalban.
No, it was the Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Yeah, became Ruben Williams.
Ruben Williams, and that's like John Daly and
Charlie Todd and
Charlie Todd from Improv Everywhere.
But how do you feel about a band the band that cool. called itself Ted Danson Dancin apostrophe?
That I'm okay with. I'm okay with that.
DJ Tanner, I like that.
I don't like that because I expect to see
DJ Tanner. Well, DJ Tanner is a character name. I can handle that.
There was a really awesome, like crazy hardcore band from Chicago called Charles Bronson.
Oh,
and, Charles like, Bronson Pinchot.
Title band.
I'm here to avenge the death of my daughter who is raped and killed.
When
I'm going to kill you.
When I was in grad school, we did new play readings at the Cleveland Playhouse, and they would bring in guest actors. And one of the guest actors that they brought in was Bronson Pinchot.
Oh my God,
and,
that's awesome.
I'll tell you, I have often I enjoy my time with both of them, so let me preface with that. But I've often compared Bronson Pinchot, my interactions with Bronson Pinchot to some of my stranger interactions with Vincent Kartheiser. Bronson Pinchot, I think, is way farther down the thing.
I read an interview with him, and he just doesn't give a shit.
No.
Like he told all these stories about all this stuff that happened, and it was kind of amazing.
He is amazing. I in this play. That we did a reading of, he is supposed to at one point dress as a woman, and everyone believes that he's a woman for a moment. It's like a farce thing. My character was supposed to be in love with him as a woman, and I'm supposed to kiss him. And since we were doing a stage reading, Bronson was like, you know, can we just stage the kiss? And the playwright was like, no, I want Rich to kiss you. And I was like, I'm fine. It's gonna be fine. I'll be gentle.
I'm gentle.
And Bronson was like, yeah, I'd really rather we just say they kiss. And the playwright was like, no, there's gonna be a kiss.
Wow.
And at the next break in the rehearsal, the playwright pulled me over, and he, this was Ken Ludwig was his name, and he said, listen, I really, really want you to like give it to him.
Oh
like,
shit!
Like really plant it on him. And I said, okay. He's like, in the rehearsals, keep it light, keep it just a little, but. in the performance, I want you to lay it on him.
Oh, like, shit.
All right. So at the performance, I full on open mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
Dove in on Amazing. Bronson Pinchot. And he just had this impulse, this reaction of just like shove. He just like shoved me away.
Yeah.
Which worked for the character. I mean, it was supposed to be, his character was supposed to be uncomfortable. And I think that's why the playwright wanted me to do it. That and there was maybe a general feeling that the playwright didn't necessarily want to give Bronson anything he asked for at that point. but it was pretty incredible. And Bronson shared some feelings with me after the show of
loving feelings. Loving feelings, like he wanted to spoon or something magical happened between us. Nope, would you like to go on a vacation?
Oh, like respect as an actor. And what
Barbados is lovely this time of year.
You guys are going to be best friends forever.
Yeah. A lot of anger. Discomfort. Mostly.
So basically you're saying you guys aren't perfect strangers anymore.
he has a home improvement show.
He does, the Bronson Pinchot Project, I believe.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Vanilla Ice also has one.
Runs after Vanilla Ice.
Oh, wow.
Same channel, I believe.
I will say this. I was watching Beverly Hills Cop 3 because it's streaming on Netflix, and why not? And he still cracks me up as Surge.
He's great.
He's
Surge.
He's really funny. Yeah. That's the thing. He's Langoliers. Really good. He was great in that play reading that we did. Yeah. Like, he's really good. He's just sort of...
He might be slightly sociopathic.
That could be,
because I feel like there's no. He did a show after Perfect Strangers. He did a show called Migo, and Migo was all about he was an alien playing kind of a Balky sort of a role, where he like comes to Earth and he's a teacher or something, or I don't know. And I knew some people working on the show. They're like, yeah, we got to go work on Ego this weekend. Like they totally. They did not. They according to these couple friends of mine, they did not enjoy the process. But I feel like Bronson Pinchot might be an amazing podcast guest.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Just to get him to tell stories.
I don't know if we're laying the right groundwork for him to be on this.
I don't think he'd give a shit.
Let's get this homophobic guy on the podcast. Let's do this.
Let's just put it out there. Mark Maron, get him on the podcast.
No, wait a minute.
I just want to hear him do it.
No, we should.
Well, I mean, we just insulted him.
No,
we didn't insult him. Why don't you get him?
Yeah, get him on Phoebe. He can come on Phoebe.
Hey, Phoebe, what's hot on iTunes? I saw you guys. Well done.
We got our first guest booked.
Who is it?
Chuck Klosterman.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you're welcome. America, you're welcome.
Chris just said, oh, he should do this one.
Well, I talked about it. Chris never moved on it, so I did.
Well, that's fine. That's how it should work.
I went for it.
That's how it should work. I don't see any problem with that at all.
There's a rift.
There's a rift between Matt's juices.
Yeah, exactly. Start juicing. Start his own podcast. All of a sudden, his ego is starting to get out of control.
So
I'm just trying to keep the band together.
Everybody.
Just the bass player.
You know. Yeah, you stay
You're
there
the drummer.
And just keep the beat.
You're the drummer.
It's true.
Do you play an instrument?
I play a very bad rhythm guitar.
Nice.
Like a bad rhythm guitar.
What do you mean by like a bad rhythm guitar?
All right. I mean, I'm bad at rhythm guitar. All right, man. Okay.
Nope, that voice makes it sound like I mean I'm good.
Check out Guitar Rich.
Speech impediment.
He knows all the chords, but it's strictly rhythm. He don't want to make a cry or sing.
Ever since Chris has been the only one with headphones, he gets way more into the
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah.
I even put my finger up against my ear.
Love the Sultans. Oh, what a cooler break. And then we come back and go.
What board games are you playing now? What are you enjoying? Because as we established on the last podcast you were on like a year and a half ago, you're a board game fanatic. And so what are you enjoying right now?
There's a game that is relatively new. I guess it's a couple of years old now, but there are new is a newish version that just came out called Summoner Wars.
Okay.
Which is a two-player game. It's sort of kind of like a chess light, but then each player chooses a faction to be, and every faction plays differently, and there are several factions that you can, I think 6 or 8 come in the base box, and then you can buy others, and they all interact differently with each other. It has a fantasy theme, which I'm not usually a fan of. I don't really care for that as a theme in games, but it's a really fun game.
Summoner Wars.
Summoner Wars. That's the one I'm playing a lot lately.
Someone gave me a Monty Python card game.
Flux?
Yes, Flux. Yeah. How is it?
Is
it not great?
I don't like Flux. But that being said, first off, Flux has about 9 billion versions. There's like Eco Flux and Alien Flux and Zombie Flux.
You know how it goes.
You guys did a great job. Thanks. And Monty Python Flux and all of these different.
So that card game is actually powered by plutonium. I'm not letting it go.
Actually, not anymore, Chris. Now you could just put in
Mr. Fanfield and a Confusion.
But it's a super random game, Flux. So okay. It can be fun, and the Monty Python one is good. It's, you know, it's kind of fun, and there are funny little tips of the hat to the movie. But I, as a rule, don't like Flux very much.
Okay. So Summoner Wars, anything else that people can play as a group that you like? What's your favorite group game right now?
Yeah.
Any non-lonely games?
There's one.
Now, do you, as a hardcore game nerd, do you get sort of offended when you go to someone's house and they're like, let's play Celebrity? Everyone,
no, right? I love Celebrity.
Okay, you do like Celebrity.
Yeah, no, I like a party game too.
Okay. Mafia?
I like Mafia or Werewolf. It's other, you know, it's cousin. Yeah. But Dixit.
Okay.
You can't. You can't say the name of that game.
Come on.
Dixit, and it's sort of like apples to apples with pieces of art. Sort of. It's not, it's art that was made for the game, but every card has a different painting on it, and so you know as the person whose turn it is, you look at the painting and you say like. You know, you can say a line from a song or something that it evokes in you. You could say, like, turn around, bright eyes, whatever. You put it face down. Then everybody chooses a card from their hand that they think matches turn around, bright eyes. They all put them down. You shuffle them up, turn them all face up, and everyone votes for the one that they think is yours, that they think is the original.
Oh, nice.
If everyone votes for yours, you made it too easy. Or if no one votes for yours because you made it too hard, then you don't get any points.
Oh, that sounds like a great game.
If someone voted for yours, you get some points. It's a great game. It's really great. And it has several variants that have come out. Now there's Dixit Odyssey in the summer. Dixit Journey comes out. Not licensed from the band Journey. Although it should be. Yeah. That's a really cool game.
I have Slayer Pinball on my iPad.
I do too.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's great.
It's awesome.
There's no better music to listen to while playing pinball.
It's fantastic.
Did we ever play Name the Thing with you?
I don't know if we did.
I think it was a game that when I was working on a show in the early 2000s, there was a writer on the show named Dave King and another writer named Tom Bell, and I can't remember who came up with it. They were both tremendously funny guys, but we would play this game called Name the Thing. And the way Name the Thing works is if I have control of the game, I think of a thing, and then I go down, everyone, you know, who's in the room, who's playing, you say to me with certainty, here's the thing you're thinking of. And then you just describe whatever it is that you think I'm thinking of. And then when everyone goes through, and the more specific, the better. And then when everyone is done, then I basically pick a winner and go, you were the closest because I was thinking of this thing and I connect it to that in this way.
It seems like it could get real mean. And
it's not. It's not mean at all.
Let's play it?
Yeah, let's play it. We'll play Name the Thing. So I'll think of a thing and then you guys.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Wait, hang on a second. Okay. Let me think of the thing first. I have a thing.
But we make assertive statements about the thing. We aren't asking questions. We're
nope. You just tell me definitively what the thing is that I'm thinking of.
Great.
So I have a thing, and let's start with Matt Myra.
Why?
Let's start with Rich Sommer.
All right. Here's the thing you're thinking of.
Okay.
You're thinking of a car. Now, this car is it's not made of metal. Mm-hmm. It's made of a very lightweight plastic.
Okay.
That plastic is impervious to dents. So much research has been done on this plastic that it's been worked out in such a way that no force can inflict a dent on
it. The 94 Saturn.
Except one thing. That thing, of course, being a clown, a person dressed as a clown. And that person, for some reason, there's some sort of a DNA thing about it. They don't have to be hit by the car. They don't have to hit the car with any force. Merely leaning on the car will force it to crumble.
Okay.
And almost all but evaporate.
Okay. Good. Jonah?
What you're thinking about is a very specific alarm clock. An alarm clock that won't just make a noise to wake you up. The mechanical arms come in, gently rock you awake. And then you'll be able to, with this alarm clock, slow down time to your whim so you can get all the things you need to do to get done.
Okay. Good.
No. Here's what you're thinking of.
All right.
What you're thinking of is a telescope. A telescope that's so powerful, it sees beyond our galaxy, wraps back around and can see any point in time from your life. Very much like Quantum Leap, where you can leap in your own lifetime. But what you can do with this telescope, it has a dial on it. And this dial can tell the old you or younger you what to do in the situation, either to turn left, to turn right, to say yes, or to say no. And this enables you to change your life in any way you see fit, thanks to this really powerful telescope.
Okay. All right. These were all very, very good things.
No, it was tits. I knew it was tits.
Nope. I'm going to go with Rich.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
The thing that I was thinking of was... I was thinking of Rudy Huxtable coming down the stairs and singing, "Baby! Baby!"
And I want to know why, what he said.
Because he, first of all, he said lightweight. Rudy was very lightweight. And he said dense and impenetrable and plastic, which I feel the Huxtable family was. They were a dense family unit. They were impenetrable. And I feel like they were plastic because no family loved each other that much. And I feel like the one thing that could have undone the Cosbys would have been if Theo came home and said, "I want to be a clown." Then all Cliff right, would have I'm been like, "Son, you... son, sit down.
What about
let's
my
have
telescope
a discussion.
That would have let you see yourself watching the Cosby Show?"
I'm telling Rudy. R-U-D-U-I. It was an anagram. It was an acronym for something.
Robotic.
Remember that episode?
Other letters also meant words. That were describing a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I picked Rich's molecule on a type of dew in a region of the country that's hit by light in a certain way, and someone else will say something that's eerily close. Do develop this bizarre connection after you start playing a few rounds.
That sounds
great. And it's also the kind of game that there's no preparation, there's no setup. You could just be out somewhere waiting for a table at a restaurant and just be like, "Okay, I'm thinking of a thing." And then everyone will start telling you what your thing is. So
the game that Matt and I played on Will's Wheaton's show was a lot of fun.
Oh, on tabletop?
I don't remember the name of it, though.
I was telling you about the
other thing. Was it Say Anything?
Say Anything.
Yeah.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah, so we had a blast.
Yeah, it was fun.
Where Jonah takes your virginity and then shows up at your house with a boombox over his head.
Yeah.
Okay. Playing my favorite remixes.
Every day. Every day, this guy.
Where Jonah goes to your father and says, "Kickboxing sport of the future," and then your dad embezzles a bunch of money from old people.
Yeah, and then goes on to father Fraser Crane.
Goes on.
Thanks, John Mahoney.
Goes on to father. He goes from the 80s
back in time.
I think everyone agreed that Kelsey Grammer just came out as Kelsey Grammer, is now. He was
a little kid in school.
No. I need to take a restroom break. Sir, you're clearly 45.
Man, I don't know what to do with this grammar.
I cannot stop singing that song.
Dude, me and Deanna all the time hanging out. It's just like, it'll just be quiet in the house, and I just hear Deanna go, "And I don't know what to do with all that."
They're calling again.
Good night.
Yeah. We do that, or it's like every time we hear like a guitar lick, we just do the Roseanne cackle. And there was a show where
Oh fuck.
Fun time.
That just brought me back.
Right.
What was your favorite weird 80s sitcom?
Night Court.
Yes!
Still my phone ringer. It's been my phone ringer since I was able to get a custom phone ringer.
Well, you don't remove that baseline from your phone.
No, forever. Fantastic.
Now I have to see if I... Now I want to call you and make your phone ring.
My phone's off because I'm doing a professional podcast.
Yeah, I'm like somebody.
Oh, which one are you doing?
What the fuck? It's going to be great. I'm doing it like 4 o'clock today.
What the fuck?
I don't think Maren's gonna be
never
like.
Know what the fuck,
let's dig a little deeper. Let me hear your ringtone.
That's the way you're going.
It's booting up. It's an Apple. It's not gonna.
Oh, you actually shut your phone off.
Oh yeah. He's very professional.
You didn't just go into airplane mode.
Things all get.
You know, I've been pretty like when I'm on planes and they're like, "Your phone needs to be off, not just in airplane mode." I'm like, "No, it doesn't." And
I always go in airplane mode. Yeah. But if I'm at a play or on a podcast, I actually turn it off.
Yeah, well, especially in a play. You don't want to.
Last night, I went and saw Good People at the Geffen and 3 cell phone rings in the play.
Oh.
And one at the most dramatic moment in the play where there's like this horrifying, super tense silence. and that fucking ding, 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 ding. And I was like, are you goddamn kidding me? And it has to be that ring, too. It can't be even, like, maybe a like crickets.
They're going to have to start saying, like, no cell phones. Well, like, okay, in Minneapolis, I walk by this orchestra hall, and it says no guns allowed in the orchestra hall.
It's terrible.
Who brings guns to an orchestra? I know you can carry firearms in Minnesota. Well,
here comes.
Oh,
here comes.
Clarinet.
Watch out. Harry Stone.
Marky Post. Richard Ball.
John Larroquette.
As Dan Field.
John Larroquette.
Apparently those guys don't get along real well anymore.
Because
you remember when 30 Rock did that
the reunion?
Episode?
Yeah.
From what I hear, I didn't hear anything. I don't remember even who told me this, but I believe it was Harry Anderson who said, "I will only do it if John Larroquette doesn't do it." And Larroquette was apparently on board to do it either way, but Harry Anderson, you had to have Judge Harry T. Stone.
You kind of have to have Harry.
So they had to lose Dan Fielding, which is a bummer because Dan Fielding, of course, audience favorite
was the character. Yep. Yeah.
That was. Well,
Nightcore introduced us all to Mel Torme. Let's be honest.
Absolutely, and Bugs Bunny.
Introduced our generation to Mel Torme.
No, he didn't exist. Nightcore made him up.
No, he was a guy.
I don't think so. It's like the monkeys, Chris.
No, the Nightcore
made it up for the TV show.
Matt, Nightcore introduced us to Richard Mall. It didn't introduce us to
Marshall Warfield.
Marshall Warfield or Selma
Bull.
Selma, who was the original?
Oh,
Selma. Oh, God. Diamond,
right?
Selma Diamond, yes.
Wow.
Oh, Your Honor. And then she passed away.
Yes, she did.
And then we got
what
Marshall Warfield.
Mac's name? Is it Max Robinson?
Charles Robinson.
Charles.
Oh, wow. Digging deep into the brain.
Right? That Rolodex is in there.
Thanks for being there for me, brain. I appreciate that. I forget what day it is, but I can remember Charles Robinson's name.
It's time to do some spring cleaning, Chris.
Yeah, Night Court was really, for me, that was also one of my favorite shows. Just that show that was where they really went from just kind of being a regular workplace comedy, and it just started these surreal storylines.
Oh, got totally surreal. And all the magic tricks. I mean, it was like the characters were bonkers in that show. It was great.
It was a borderline fantasy show. Like, there was a borderline,
absolutely.
Like, they were on some sort of a cusp of a magic realm.
Well, it did go. I mean, didn't Bull, like, end up going to space?
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah. No, it went out there.
That
was, every time they would go to the cafeteria, they could have any type of character from any part of imagination be in that room because they were always like the people who were like, you know, being held for something, or they were always in the cafeteria. They run into just like wacky, weird,
Harry Anderson was one of those guys that when they used to do stand up on SNL, he would do stand up on SNL, like Harry and Joel Hodgson and guys like that. Penn and Teller, they would actually do stand-up sets on this. I kind of miss that. I wish they would. I mean, they're never going to bring that back, but it always made it feel like a true variety show.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe it took away from
the sketches,
the variety,
the sketches,
the show.
Bring back G.E. Smith. That's what I say.
Right?
At least this Amish-looking bass player who looks like he was in the movie The Burbs. Where are you going, Pinocchio?
Everybody looks like they're in The Burbs to you, Jonah.
It's an underrated movie. Joe Dante for life, man.
I wouldn't say Joe Dante for life, but I will say it's an underrated movie.
You don't like other Joe Dante movies?
Didn't he do Gremlins?
Yes.
I'm way over Gremlins.
Really?
Way over Gremlins?
Does not
I'm
hold
under
up.
It. It's fucking me right now.
Does not hold up.
What about Matinee? You like Matinee? John Goodman?
I only saw it in the drive-in.
You should check it out again.
I'll check that out again.
Very
nostalgic. That's the problem. You saw a Matinee at the drive-in. You can't project on that screen.
So you're over Gremlins. Did you see it recently? Did you see Gremlins recently?
Yes, I saw Gremlins maybe 2 years ago. With the intent of like, oh, I'm going to just go down memory lane. Because I'd watched Goonies, and Goonies totally holds up.
Yep.
And then you sit down and you watch Gremlins, it just doesn't hold up.
Where does it fall apart?
Well, it looks like shit, first off. Like, it just looks terrible.
It just looks 80s?
The way it's shot. Well, not just because it's 80s, because there are plenty of 80s movies that don't look like shit. I mean, it's just, it just looks like shit. The acting is god-awful.
Yeah, Zach Galligan.
And the story is, look, I know it was preposterous.
Listen, if your dad died in a chimney, you would feel that same way.
Trim-chimney-tro.
I couldn't even get it out. It hurt so much.
Trimini.
But Phoebe Cates.
Absolutely. Yeah. She holds up. She did fine. She
what's the guy? Up. What's the old guy? The Vietnam vet guy?
Oh, Mr. Butter.
The actor. He's in like every Joe Dante.
Yeah.
The old guy,
right?
What?
Was he in Tremors? Is he the guy? No, he's not the guy from Tremors.
No.
He's at that one.
He's in Matinee. He's in The Burbs. He's one of the trash men in The Burbs.
Oh, right.
They were just talking about this on Smodcast too, and I fucking
what
the guy
that
you're
guy?
Talking about.
Yeah, he also had like he was in an episode of Erie, Indiana.
Wow, it's amazing that
you're not even looking at your phone yet. Once you pull out that phone, we're gonna get a whole thing.
I know. That's what I hate about the phones. It's like the bar time arguments, or like just when you're talking about, it's like, no, he wasn't in that movie. Well, we'll figure it out eventually.
I read a thing that said that our memories as humans are deteriorating because so much of our memory is stored in Google, is stored in the cloud, basically. That we don't have to access it.
It was
as much.
Dick Miller, Mr. Futterman.
Yes, that's right.
Who probably, he looks like an actor that I seem to recall was probably in a Twilight Zone episode or two.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff. I think he was in some Tales from the Crypt too. But yeah, what you're saying, actually, I think Pete Holmes has a whole chunk about that, about how, remember how that thing you weren't really sure about it, and like how good it felt when you would find out the answer, and it'll be like, oh man, oh, like you're like the knowledge now that you have that you figured out on your own. And like he says, like now it's just like you get that right away, and it becomes less and less, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't know Hoyt Axton died. Where was I in October 26, 1999?
Where were you?
I was not in Helena, Montana, where he died.
You were reading single louts in Mad Magazine.
Just going, those were the good old days. Because in 99, the show was over and I wasn't working.
Single louts.
Well, in 99. Embarrassing. What?
And you're probably drunk then.
Shipmates was right around the corner, Chris.
It was. That big old cruise ship was coming around the bend.
Were you ever on the cruise ship?
No.
Forgive me, I've never seen Shipmates.
No. No, and you know, I wasn't. And the reason that there were a couple reasons why I wasn't. Number one.
Insurance.
All of the crew was like, ugh. It's just, you know, like they said like it's just gross.
Was it like a skeevy barge that they purchased or something like that?
No, it was a cruise line, but it just wasn't. It was just, it was sort of the
the bargain.
It was the white trashiest.
Oh, Carnival.
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was. But according to the crew at the time, and you know, whichever cruise line it was, they were like, yeah, you're okay. But really, sort of the main reason was that I had. I was supposed to go back and forth from L.A. to New York every other week to shoot the wraparounds for Shipmates, and then I was there for September 11th, and then so I just stayed in New York to just finish out doing the show, and I just didn't. I was just too. I just didn't want to travel.
Well, you could have gone on a boat. That would have been safe.
But I had to get to Miami to get on the boat.
A lot of cruises go down New York to Miami.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Me. Just me. But only me.
So at the time I was too drunk and too paranoid to travel. Because you have to remember that at that time in New York, every single day you would hear, and this went on for a couple months, the chatter finally died down, but you would hear numerous times a day from just all different types of people. Yeah, my brother's cousin has a roommate who works in the mailroom at the FBI, and the terrorists are going to attack the water system tonight. Like the chatter made you afraid of everything.
Remember when the grid went out in New York and they thought that was terrorists?
Yeah. Well, I remember walking down one day a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I remember walking down a couple weeks after it happened, and I saw these like weird things floating in the air, and I'm like, ah, it's a biochemical attack. And then it just turned out to be like they were like pillow feathers or something.
That's a very weird thing to be in the air. Just
well, but not if like someone like shook something out from their window
not,
and it's just
know,
like
the in big Hell's Kitchen in the '50s, everyone you know bringing out their sheets.
People still dry stuff on lines in New York. Yeah, they still dry stuff. Anyway, so that there's a long
this
way of saying
this might be unpopular, but one I of the reasons 9/11.
That well, that's yeah.
Which one?
Cut that out.
Did you just glance at the clock to see when he said that?
Yeah. I'm doing it to protect him.
September 11th, 1999. Dave Matthews in New York. Good show.
Okay,
I have a t-shirt.
You've just justified that, so I'll leave
I'm
it
just
in.
Saying.
Danny Gold does that a lot. He's like, in 9/11.
They filmed it for the spotlight special.
9/11 2001.
Just go back to no. The one with the terrorists.
No. Oh,
I mean the Dave Matthews band. They are terrorists on your ears, right, Jonah?
Pizza. No.
We can never remember the other thing they said.
You know, it's you guys, the pizza.
What was that?
It's a Stella sketch.
Oh.
What do you guys like better, us or the pizza?
You guys, the pizza.
And of course, then it goes on for
a minute and a half.
That was one of the original shorts, right? That wasn't on the show.
It's on the shorts DVD.
Yeah.
So, it's a long way of saying I never went on the cruises.
Well, gotcha. Thanks.
You're welcome.
In Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, she has a really good story about going on a cruise ship. And then they had it almost blew up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was like a real scary, they had to stop and then just turn around and end the trip early.
I've been on cruises since. They're all right.
Never been on cruises since?
Well, yeah. Nickelodeon sent me on a couple cruises because of Barnyard. And they were actually really fun. The cruise to Mexico was amazing. It was a few years ago, and the swine flu scare was happening, and so the no one wanted to go to Mexico, so the boat was mostly empty, and it was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
I believe that cruises must be fun. I understand that. But
I believe the cruises are our future.
I'm confused. I have trouble picturing what is so fun about it.
You know what it is?
It feels captive to me.
Yeah. You know, you think that, and then you get there, and the cruises are like floating malls, basically. And so they're so fucking huge.
Yeah, but then why don't you just go to Vegas and walk around in the mall?
Because you know what's nice? It's nice if you have a room and there's a balcony, and you come back to your stateroom late at night, and you just kind of sit on your deck, and it's just beautiful outside. You just hear the ocean, the ship just cutting through the water, and if the sky is clear, it's just really calm. And I loved. I would run. The ship had a track all on the top deck.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then so, you know, you're just running laps around the track, and you just can't see anything in any direction, and you just feel you're safe enough because there's thousands of people. Like, you feel safe enough because, you know.
Tell that to the Titanic.
I know.
Oh, geez, keeping it topical here.
Oh, I wish I had a fucking boat horn on the instant replay machine.
Right ahead.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
I don't get it.
But
what are you guys talking about?
We're talking about the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Oh, great.
Which is what I call when I take a shit.
Doesn't go down.
Thank you. Rich pointed at both of us at the same time with a knowing nod. These two guys know how to take it brown. We just went from reenacting the Titanic to shit joke about the Molly Brown. Jesus Christ.
If we don't win all the podcast awards for this episode.
One or two podcasts.
I just want to keep
awards.
Going too.
Yeah. So much for the Peabody this year. We're not getting the Peabody.
You know when you take a Jack? That's when it just sinks right away because it's a cold day.
Jesus Christ.
Does he sink in that way? I've never seen Titanic. Does he sink?
Oh, you get it. Good news. Sink. It's going to be
get
in
him
the
underwater.
Spoiler alert, he drowns.
I know he dies. Get that.
Well, did you think that he was maybe hanged or shot or the boat sinks? That's the thing. That's the other thing.
He picks a fist fight with the iceberg.
No.
Maybe he
guys,
falls and breaks his leg.
Right as he's floating away to safety, these sea wolves jump on the boat and
from
rip apart. Yeah, from
Air
the Hunger
wolves.
Games.
No,
yeah.
Sea Wolf starts playing on the deck. The remaining deck.
The band. Earwolf. Scott Aukerman shows up.
Jeff Ehrlich shows up
and beats him up, and it's like he just
I wish that was Ulrich.
It's Ulrich.
What did I say?
Ehrlich.
Ehrlich.
All right. Jeff Ulrich.
Right. Oh, it's like Ulrich, like Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, like Lars.
Nice, but spelled differently. I think Jeff has two L's in his name. I believe.
Oh. Guys are for blowing my mind here.
Nice guy. Those Earwolf folks are good people.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Lars Ulrich, total dick.
I have a good Lars Ulrich story.
He does have a good Lars Ulrich story.
Yeah.
All right, you better tell it.
Well, what if I want
to?
All right,
what if
you want to save it for your stand-up
else?
Comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fascinating.
That I'm going to save it?
Yeah. No, it's fine. Go ahead.
All right, here it goes.
No. I want to pay money to hear it instead of just talking to a friend. Yeah. That sounds great.
No. Oh, sweet.
I'm talking to a friend. I'm also fucking talking to 100,000 people. or wherever our numbers. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that shit, man.
Yeah, people aren't going to remember this.
So no.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it. I was, it's actually, because I have a, it takes place at this house, my friend's place. He was having a party. There was a bunch of people over. And it's the same house that some people know I have a very weird Courtney love story where I play Truth or Love with Courtney Dare. Courtney. Truth or Love with Courtney Dare.
I'm
going upstairs and piss off.
Truth or Love. Okay, Truth or Love. Truth or Love.
Can't they be one and the same? So, like, yeah, but I played Truth or Dare with Courtney Love at the same house. But I was there a couple years later, and Lars Ulrich is there, and he's just fucking out of his mind. Out of his mind on white drugs. And I don't know.
Like caffeine?
Exactly. What constitutes slander? I don't know. But it is really everything that happened. So, like, we're all hanging around, and my friend Preston, and I'm obsessed. I was obsessed with Lars Ulrich and Metallica. I got my first drum set was like a White Thomas set, just like his, you know. And I was really, but he was like talking, and my friend's like, "Hey, you know, Jonah does stand up." He's like, "Oh yeah, oh man, yeah." In San Francisco, we used to go see Sam Kinison all the time, and he would do this thing where he would get up in your face, and I was like, "Oh, don't get up and get him." Oh, and then God. He starts like he grabs my collar and starts screaming in my face, doing a Sam Kinison impression.
Oh God!
He's like, "Oh, it's great. Hey, let's go upstairs." And so, me and him and a couple other guys go upstairs for more caffeine. And
you went?
Yeah, well, it's fucking Lars Ulrich.
Oh, wow.
Like, because I was drunk enough to be like, this is like just insane.
Are you talking about nose caffeine?
Yes, yeah, exactly. The kind of nose caffeine that makes you just want to talk about Tom Petty for hours on end.
Can I have a no foam nose latte?
Yeah. But that's my theory on that stuff, is that if you do it enough times, you will end up in a bathroom talking about Tom Petty with somebody. But this wasn't one of those nights. So we were
you
up.
Didn't
in,
do enough.
Yeah, exactly. So we're up in this room in the house, and he's just going on and on about this acoustic cover of Run to the Hills that was in some movie. He's like, "Yeah, you guys ever seen that movie?" We're like, "No." He's like, "Oh man, you know what? Does this computer go online?" The guy's like, "Yeah, yeah." He's like, "Oh, I'll just download it."
Wait, how long ago was this story?
This was in 2007.
Does this computer go online?
Yes. Yes.
In 2007.
In 2007.
I don't think it's called a computer if it doesn't go online.
He really does sort of represent the voice of the music industry and has for many years.
Exactly. Does this computer go online? My friend's like, "Yes." He's like, "Okay, I'm just gonna go and download it." And if you remember anything about...
Oh, he was one of the first voices against...
He was the one... He was like the
don't
main
steal
guy.
Our music from... Yeah.
He's the one that sued... children because they had downloaded a couple Metallica
in the
songs.
Days of Napster. Like this is in the days of Napster, was, like 01.
He was
02,
the he was
maybe.
The guy. He was the voice. It was him and Chuck D, I believe, were the guys that were suing kids.
Why the fuck weren't you testifying against him?
So he said
"This, I'll just download." Everyone goes, "Oh."
Mm-hmm.
Like, and everyone kind of gets quiet because everyone immediately thinks about like all the that's what he's been known for now, is because of like doing that, trying to sue Napster. And then like he's like, "Oh yeah, it's okay, man. I have like an ultimate hall pass when it comes to this sort of thing."
Yeah. What a
go
fucking
yeah.
shithead!
Fuck
this fucking billionaire who cries while selling all of his fucking priceless art pieces in some kind of monster is like "Oh, I got an ultimate hall pass," and like what the fuck does that mean? And and he just starts downloading it. And what I say is that like that's as bad as Hitler. Or it's as bad as if Hitler was downloading modest Yahoo tracks.
That is an amazing story.
Wow, yeah. What a douchebag.
Yeah, the worst.
Someday maybe we'll get you to, you don't have to sell it today, but someday, you should save your Courtney Love story for the stand-up, because
it's on the first record.
Oh,
it's
on the first record.
Crazy Mixed Up Plumbing, so yeah, I could say it whenever you want me to.
It's a good story.
Thanks. Yeah.
Truth or Love with Courtney. And I like that you didn't realize it until you were all the way through. It wasn't Truth or Love with, wait a minute, I messed up the thing. I almost said Courtney Dare.
You
wrote it all the way through.
I like Courtney Dare.
I do too.
Yeah. Her show though sucks.
Oh, no. Truth or Love is it's tanked. The numbers. Yeah. I don't care about numbers at all.
Exactly. But Style Network's gonna probably can it.
You mean when the Style Network gets canned?
Yeah.
What's gonna happen?
Like,
is
just hearing our laughter echo up.
They're gonna start. the whole staff of the Sound Network just stopped and went. I think someone said it again.
Yeah, exactly. Tamara are both crying opposite tears.
What they should have is just like there's gonna be some channel is gonna have like a battle of the cable networks, and then like they're gonna it's gonna be a reality show like to keep the cable channel networks alive.
Fucking depressing for everyone in this room who's on basic cable.
Anybody else? All four of us.
I've barely ever surfaced on network television. I think it's maybe only happened.
At least your guys' networks wins awards.
We won a Webby on Web Soup.
Oh yeah, we won a Webby.
Did we? Or did we just give ourselves an award?
Oh no, we gave ourselves awards.
That's what it was. Yeah, we did the Web Soup Awards.
Oh, that's what I have on my desk.
I don't think we actually won.
No.
Oh my gosh,
it was a fake thing that we made up. Sorry.
Yeah.
Still
more special because it came from us.
Leave it on the resume.
We sure did make a lot of bits.
Yeah. Hey, look, Matt, listen. Would you rather have like a really expensive car or a really cute model sloppy car that your kid made? Right?
Yeah, real expensive car.
Oh. Well, then you probably want to just throw that thing away. That's all you did. It's not an expensive car.
We made one of those and sent them to a guy. It was made out of chocolate. That was we had him film himself eating the award.
Eating the award, yeah. Well, Rich
Summer. That just made me fucking really hungry.
God damn it. Well, I think I'm impressed by your willpower, and just I'll keep checking in with you to make sure you're all right.
Sweet.
Because I love you and I want you to be okay.
Appreciate that.
Okay, good. And Rich Summer, thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you for
anything you want to? Because you're going off to do a play, right?
I am. Yeah.
With who?
That was odd.
Harry Anderson.
We're all going off.
Like, Rich isn't enough.
In the play with you.
Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory is the lead.
Give the listeners what they want.
Charles Kimbrough from Murphy Brown.
Oh my God! Who did he play?
He was like the head news guy on Murphy Brown.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
the real Stern guy,
Carol Kane. Yeah,
Brown's what I call it when I take a shit that won't go all the way. I'm sorry, I was just trying to bring it back.
No, that's a sinkable. No, sinkable Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown is when it goes on for miles.
Nice.
Other character from
Miles.
Yeah, it's Miles.
Yeah, the character Miles.
Yeah, glasses. We're doing the play Harvey. I have a small part in it, and I'm very excited about it.
So you're going to be in New York for a
rabbit?
While?
I'm going to be in New York. I don't play the rabbit, but you're only the first person to ask. Just kidding. The 900th person.
Oh, my gosh.
900! That's a special number!
Right on the nose!
Ding, 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 ding,
don't be sad.
Iceberg.
Don't be sad.
Listen, I just say things.
Hey, you know what, Jonah? When I ask my phone who you are, it pulls your contact up.
You matter to Matt's Siri.
Yeah. Fucking Vinny. I gotta fucking punch you next time I see you.
So basically...
Fucking Pete Campbell, bitchface.tumblr.com.
So Siri basically... Does Siri...
Oh, wait, hang on. Who is Jonah Ray? Hang on.
Here's the contact information.
Oh.
See that right there?
So basically Siri's saying, I don't know, ask yourself.
Well, it's trying.
Yeah.
The contact information was for information. It was just the numbers 411.
Just telling me to contact 411.
Well, Jonah, you're our own little Web Soup Award.
We created you and we'll discard you as soon as we forgot that we created
you. When does your play open?
We open June 14th at Studio 54 on the Broadway.
Excellent. Rich Summer, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for being on the bowling show.
Thank you.
All-Star Bowling, which will hopefully be up by the time this goes up, just in a couple weeks. So
synergy.
People can listen and then watch. And it's always great hanging out with you, man.
Likewise.
It's good to see you.
Time. Thank you.
Rich Summer. This is Chris Hardwick inviting you to enjoy your burrito.
Yeah.
Unless you're Matt Myra.
Please don't enjoy it.
Just blend it.
Enjoy your juice burrito.
Blend that burrito.
Enjoy your beet.
If I put a burrito in a juicer, I might do that when I get home.
Yeah, why not?
The chute's probably big enough.
Oh, that sounded gross.
I don't know what it would come out like. That would be disgusting.
It wouldn't be that different of a consistency than what it is. Like, a burrito is just kind of messy inside.
Yeah, but a juicer, like, it'll take away the everything and just leave juice. It's not like there's no pulp or anything.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the husk of every bean will be
removed. So you'll just get bean water.
Yeah. Okay. Beans are something you can drink. Yeah. I'll get back to everybody on the bean juice.
Bean juice next week.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Every year, 50 teenage girls, one from every state, show up in Mobile, Alabama to compete in the largest cash scholarship competition exclusively for high school girls. They spend months training to win the big prize. But what happens when a Supreme Court decision leaves many of them feeling unprepared for the real world?
A lot of the girls were crying, and I never seen any of them cry before.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shima Oliai. Follow me behind the scenes as all 50 girls are catapulted into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. What do they think of their changing country? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.